Welcome to Choice Classic Radio, where we bring to you the greatest old-time radio shows. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube, and thank you for donating at choiceclassicradio.com.
This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half-hour, Favorite Stories. What does whiteness mean to you? If something is white in color, it may mean that it is pure or very impure. The face of a saint gleams with whiteness, but so does the face of a leper. They tell us that ghosts are always clothed in white. The hood of the cobra, charged with poisonous venom, is white as the standards of the kings of France. And can you dream of any place more lonely and terrifying than the ice fields of the Arctic? Our favorite story this week concerns something white and something terrifying. Captain Ahab sailed his ship around the world in pursuit of it. And what happened to him and his crew is told in Melville's adventure of Moby Dick, the White Whale. This is a novel of hatred and revenge, and many critics have called it the greatest book written in America. The man who chose Moby Dick as his favorite story is a distinguished American author himself, Mr. Howard Lindsay, who collaborated in the writing of Life with Father, State of the Union, and other Broadway hits. Perhaps you saw Mr. Lindsay as the famous father in his own famous play. We hope you will enjoy our production of his favorite story, which stars William Conrad as Captain Ahab and Howard Duff as Ishmael. Here's Act One of Moby Dick.
Ordinary seaman before the mast on the good ship Pequot. Found out of Nantucket on Christmas Day of the year 1844 on a 1,000 days voyage.
Stand the masthead, Ted. Keep your weather eye open. Sing out if you smell a whale.
Aye, Mr. Starbuck. Me stand mast.
Well, Ishmael, is your blood frozen stiff yet? Is there ice in the marrow of your bone?
It's a cold night, sir. That wind has the taste of Greenland in it.
Well, come below to my cabin, Ishmael.
Aye, Mr. Starbuck, gladly.
A round of black coffee will do the both of us good. Ah, what a devil's crew this is. Heathen helmsmen, Fiji Islanders, cannibals from the Congo, tattooed harpooner from the brink of the pit. What are you doing in this motley crowd, Ishmael?
I'm one of them.
You're an intelligent man. Seen the inside of colleges, no doubt. What makes you ship on a 3-year whaling cruise before the mast, eh?
Some men end their troubles with suicide. I take to the sea.
We may all of us be dead before this madness is ended. Ah, here's the coffee. Hot and black. Drink up, Ishmael. To the Pequot. A crazy crew and a crazy captain.
Where is Captain Ahab?
3 feet away from you.
What?
Now, directly above your head. The floor of his cabin is the roof of mine. You'll hear him presently.
Isn't it strange, sir? I've never sailed with a whaling ship before, so I don't know, but isn't it strange for a vessel to be 5 days out of port and no one yet set eyes on the captain?
Ah, it's strange indeed. Captain Ahab was always a strange man. Now he's stranger than strange. He keeps close inside his cabin, never seems to sleep. He's sick, I believe, but he doesn't look so. The sickness is hid deep inside him.
Then why did you ship with Captain Ahab?
He's a good whaler. He's a good captain. More than that, he's Ahab. And if you remember your Bible, Ahab was crowned king.
A very wicked king.
True, a very wicked king.
What's that?
Ah, there he goes again. There goes Ahab on the march. Night and day he pounds it. Sleep, I have no rest from Ahab.
Is he hammering the floor?
Aye. He hammers whatever he walks on.
You mean, Mr. Starbuck, that our captain has only one leg?
Ahab has two legs, my boy. One of them like yours. And the other, whittled from the jawbone of a sperm whale. Captain Ahab.
I'm coming up on deck. I need the smack of the salt air, mate. Get away, Mr. Starbuck. I need none of your help. It's a fair wind. What's our course?
South by southeast, sir.
Fair wind, fair course. Mr. Starbuck, send everybody aft.
Sir.
The whole crew. Mastheads aft! I'm down!
Is this an emergency, Captain, that you want every man to quit his work?
Did you hear me, Mr. Starbuck? And everybody asked.
Aye, sir. Helmsman, lash the tiller. Make for the quarter.
Aye, sir.
Carpenter!
Hurry along there, sir.
Carpenter, last all of you.
Turn along. Hurry along there.
We'll get a look at all they have at last.
They're all assembled, sir. All hands present.
Good. Good. Turn me your best, dear lad. Sweet words for you. What you do when you see a whaleman?
Sing out for him.
Aye. And what you do next, men?
Lower away. Lower away and after him.
And what tune is it you pull to, men?
A dead whale or a stove boat?
Aye,
that's the tune.
You, Tashtego and Dago. Old Maxman there, we've spat harpoons at many a sperm whale's fluke, haven't we, lad?
Aye, that we have.
Then you've before now heard me give orders about the white whale. Look here. Do you see the Spanish ounce of gold? A $16 piece, men. Do you see it? Mr. Starbuck, hand me yon topmore.
Aye, sir.
Nailed to the mast, you'll find it, lad. Iron against wood against gold. Whenever you work above deck, men, you'll see this gold piece nailed here, glimmering down on you like a second sun. And whosoever of you raises me a white-headed whale with a wrinkled brow and a crooked jaw, whosoever of you raises me that white-headed whale with three holes punctured in his starboard fluke, he shall have this ounce of gold, my boys.
A gold, gold, gold.
For a whale. You watch for him, Ahab.
It's a white whale, I say, so skin your eyes for him, man. Look sharp for white water. And if you see but a bubble, sing out.
Captain Ahab, sir, that white whale must be the same that some call Moby Dick.
Moby Dick. You know the white whale, then, blacksmith?
Does he fantail a little curious, sir, before he goes down?
And him have two, three, or good many iron in him high?
Aye, Tashtego, the harpoons lie all twisted and wrenched in him. Aye, Perth, he fantails like a split tip in a squall. It's Moby Dick you've seen. Moby Dick!
Captain Ahab. Was it not Moby Dick that took off your leg?
Who told you that? Aye, Starbuck. Aye, my heart is all round. It was Moby Dick that dismasted me. Moby Dick that brought me to this dead stump I stand on now. Aye, it was the white whale that received me, made a poor pegging lubber of me forever and a day. Aye, and I'll chase him round Good Hope and around the Horn and round Perdition's flames before I give him up. And this is what you've shipped for, men. To chase that whale till he spouts black blood and rolls thin out. What do you say, men? Will you splice hands on it now? God bless you. God bless him. Wait. Hold me, hearties. Mr. Starbuck, what's the long face about? Wilt thou not chase the white whale? Art thou not game for Moby Dick?
I'm game for his crooked jaw and for the jaws of death, too. If they come fairly in the way of the business we follow. But I came here to hunt whales, not my commander's vengeance.
Your ship is first mate to Captain Ahab, and you'll follow Ahab's orders.
Vengeance on a dumb brute that simply smote thee from blindest instinct? That's madness, blasphemy!
Talk not to me of blasphemy, man. I'd strike the sun if it insulted me. Now swear with me, lads. Death! Death to Moby Dick!
He's mad.
No, no, Schmale. Would he were mad. For madness is a wild, uncalculating thing. We could cope with madness. But Ahab is madness gone mad.
Did you ever catch sight of Moby Dick, Mr. Starbuck?
No, no, not I. But I've heard old-timers talk about the gleaming whiteness of his hump. They talk of his cunning, how he'll dive to the ocean's bottom dragging the whaleboats with him. How one flip of his leprous tail has crushed a boatload of brave seamen.
How old is Moby Dick?
How old? Moby Dick was churning white water through the Straits of the Indies before Columbus sailed for the New World. Enough of this talk about the white whale. Back to your watch, man. It's still an hour yet before daybreak.
Mr. Starbuck, what noise is that?
There's a light up by the forecastle.
Looks like fire, sir.
The forge.
These are the nails dug from the steel shoes of racing horses.
Captain Ahab, this is the best steel we blacksmiths ever worked.
Hammer it, old man. These stubs
well
together like glue from the
mouth of
murderers.
There's a fine pair of lucifers.
What are they about, sir?
Forging a harpoon from the appearances of things.
Hammer it, I say, old man. Make the sparks fly. Here, give it me, the hammer. My hand is no stranger to the anvil. Work the bellows first, man. The coals white hot. Faster, man. Faster with the bellows. This land must be a perfect temper for the work it has to do.
I fear something, Captain Ahab. Is this harpoon for the white whale?
Oh, the white fiend. There. There. Now, cold water first. The bucket. We will temper the steel thus. Ego non baptizo te in nomine patris. Ed in nomine diaboli. In nomine
diaboli. What is he saying?
He baptizes the harpoon. Not in the name of the Holy Father, but in the name of the unholy demon, Satan himself.
God keep us. God save us all.
We're ready for Act Two of Howard Lindsay's favorite story, Moby Dick, by Herman Melville. Aboard the Pequod, Captain Ahab watches the black waters for a sign of the giant white whale. Round the world, he pursues his vengeance, for there's no man alive who can stand between Ahab and his rendezvous with Moby Dick.
On we sailed. Southward across the equator, along the breast of the Brazilian coast, around the rocky, storm-bound tip of Patagonia and Magellan's misnamed Land of Fire. The Pequod cut the foam of the Pacific northward toward the coral atolls of the East Indies. Many days and nights on this long voyage, the watch on the masthead sang out,
I said, what color is he, Matthew?
Black, Captain.
sir. Shall we be after him?
No.
Sir, there's 100 barrels of whale oil there.
I said we don't lower a boat.
A fortune in the Nantucket market. You'll pass it by, Captain Ahab?
I'll pass it by.
What of the owners?
Curse the owners. We sail from Moby Dick.
Brisk winds knifed the Pequot onward. Sails of other whaling ships loomed almost daily on the horizon. And whenever the masthead sighted one, old Ahab pegged to the rail of his quarterdeck to ask the same inevitable question.
Ahoy there! Hast thou seen the white whale?
Some had seen Moby Dick, some had not. But these were the seas where the white whale swam. And Captain Ahab's nostrils twitched. His eyes glistened as the good ship Rachel swung alongside. And her master came over the rail.
I have seen the white whale yesterday.
You saw him?
Aye. The whale boat we lowered after him is lost. I pray you will help us find it. If we scour the sea hereabouts, sailing in parallel lines a few miles apart, we are sure to find my whale boat in a few days.
And by then, Moby Dick will be spouting in the China Sea. No, I'm after him.
I pray you, sir, for the sake of Christian charity. My son, my only son, a lad of 12 years, was in that whale boat.
I'm sorry for your loss of your son, but I cannot help you.
Let me charter your ship. I'll gladly pay for it and roundly for 8 and 40 hours only. Help me find my son.
Which way was the white whale heading when you lost him?
East. Due east.
Helmsman, change your course. Due east.
You will not help me.
If thy son is drowned, he's drowned. It's none of my concern.
For the love of God, I pray. I beseech.
Over the side with thee. Mr. Starbuck, help the master of the Rachel back to his own deck. Our business lies eastward.
Ye have no human soul, no sympathy. If ye find the white whale, he shall kill thee. It will be God's vengeance.
Ye speak to me of vengeance, sir. Know ye not that Ahab and vengeance are one and the same? Avast, Mahares! The smell of him is in the wind! The blasted stop of me aches with his nearness! An ounce of Spanish gold, lad, for the first time! That catches light from the back of Moby Dick!
Captain Ahab, the storm is rising. I'll let down an anchor to the windward and strike the mainsail.
Strike nothing and turn nothing, but flash everything. The wind rises, let it rise. Do you take me for the hunchback skipper of some coasting smack? No, Mr. Starbuck, we ride the wind. Who's at the masthead?
No one, Captain.
No watch? No masthead?
We can't send a man up in this gale.
Shall we overrun him, then? Shall we miss our meeting with Moby Dick because no eyes were peeled to watch for him?
Who can see in this night?
I can. For the lightning flashes, I'll see him. Ahab himself will man the masthead.
You, sir? How will you brace yourself?
A rope under the armpit. Hoist me, Starbuck. I'll tie myself to the yardarm. And if Ahab's eye is the first to see the chalky plumes of Moby Dick, then Ahab shall have the ounce of Spanish gold.
The day dawned, slate gray calm. And with the first pale light on the water, we heard old Ahab's voice sing out from the masthead.
Straight away from us. Quiet, all of you. Row the boat gently. No unnecessary sound to alarm Moby Dick. We'll after him on the silent wings of an avenging angel.
Captain, it's not too late to turn back. Look, ye, Moby Dick does not seek you. It is you, sir, you that madly seeks after him.
Do you think, Starbuck, I've come so far to turn back now? Brace forward up helm. We'll follow the white whale's wake, though he lead us to the gates of the Inferno.
For 3 days, the Pequod sailed ahead of the wind, always within sight of Moby Dick. Ahab never slept, the harpoon always at his side. On the third day, Moby Dick hung to the leeward, tiring perhaps from the long chase. Ahab ordered the boats lowered.
Starbuck.
Aye, Captain.
For the third time, my soul's ship starts upon this voyage.
Aye, sir. You will have it so.
Some ships sail from their ports and ever afterward are missing, Starbuck.
Truth, sir. Saddest truth.
Some men die at ebb tide, some at low water. Some at the full of the flood. And I feel now like a billow that's on its way out of men's sight. I am old, Starbuck. Shake hands with me, man.
Captain, turn back. There still is time.
You never wanted this chase after Moby Dick, did you, Starbuck? Why did you follow me, then?
You are my captain, sir.
Aye. Farewell, Starbuck. God rest you. Roll away!
Stand by the crew!
Look, Captain, the sharks! They circle your whaleboat!
Sharks? Good! Their teeth shall bite the flank of Moby Dick along with my harpoon!
The boats moved closer. Closer to the white whale. While he lay quietly in the water as if waiting for Ahab to come to him. Then, when the distance between the foremost boat and the great whale was less than 20 yards, Moby Dick made a sudden turnabout and faced directly toward the crippled captain.
Beware, sir. The size of him, that wrinkled brow.
Forward to forward I meet thee, Moby Dick, after the long years. Do you remember me? Do you know me? Aye, you must know me. You've swum through my thoughts. You've never left me since you blasted old Ahab's body in another sea. Do you fear me? I'm but a flake of foam compared with thee. In size and age and strength, thou art my master. But I am a man. There's a spirit in this body that thou blasted, Moby Dick. And the spirit of Ahab will follow thee, even down the darkening staircase to the ocean floor.
The sharks are chewing away the oars, Captain.
Let them. This shall be quick work. Towards thee I roll, thou all-destroying but unconquering whale. To the last I grapple with thee. For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee. Last I give up the
Ahab's harpoon sailed from his hand, struck the whale's flank. Moby Dick lashed about, enraged by the pain, maddened by the spear in his flesh. Within seconds, the three whaleboats were crushed by that enormous tail. Then the wrinkled brow of Moby Dick smote the good ship Pequod full amidships. And she sank forever, with all her officers and crew, into the shark-infested waters of the Java Sea. All of her crew, save one, clung to a bit of the wreckage. Miraculously, I escaped the shark. On the second day, a sail drew near and picked me up at last. Thus ends my story of the dreadful vengeance of Captain Ahab. Or was it the even more dreadful vengeance of Moby Dick?
You've been listening to our favorite story impression of Herman Melville's Moby Dick. Three of the brightest young stars of motion pictures were our leading players. William Conrad played Captain Ahab, Frank Lovejoy was Starbuck, and Howard Duff was our narrator, Ishmael. Claude Sweeten provided the score, and Mr. Howard Lindsay chose Moby Dick as this week's favorite story. When you think of Charles Dickens, you probably think first of David Copperfield, Oliver Twist, and company. But there's a lesser-known Dickens novel that's a real thriller, Great Expectations. That's next week's favorite story. And it was chosen by one of the great actors of our century, Mr. Walter Hamden. We hope you'll be listening.